Let's have a look at this theatre. This is the Prince of Wales Theatre. Nice bit of Art Deco. It's the second Prince of Wales Theatre on that spot. The original Prince of Wales, for whom it was named, is the man who became King Edward VII. He liked the theatre. Yeah, he liked actresses, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he liked. The Prince of Wales Theatre, when they laid the foundation stone, they hired Gracie Fields to sing to the workers in the 1930s, where they laid the foundation stone here. Gracie Fields, wartime singer. She was my grandfather's least favourite singer. He couldn't stand listening to her. He used to walk out. His nickname for Gracie Fields, my grandfather, he used to call her Hitler's secret weapon, because when he heard her singing, his morale went down. He wasn't a fan of hers at all. But she sang to the workers when they laid the foundation stone at the Prince of Wales Theatre, where Marlene Dietrich played on the same bill as the Beatles on the Royal Variety Show in 1963. Judy's impersonation. The two of them had a terrific friendship, Marlene and Judy. How about that for a programme, eh? The Royal Variety Show. You've got the Beatles, 1963, and you've got Marlene Dietrich with Burt Bacharach at the piano. I mean, what do you want for a night's entertainment? What's on TV tonight? The Beatles, Marlene Dietrich and Burt Bacharach? Oh, I don't think I'll bother. It's an extraordinary night, isn't it, on ITV? Marlene Dietrich did quite a memorable thing that night. She's forgotten in the brouhaha about Beatlemania. Marlene Dietrich that night sang Pete Seeger's protest song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Now, that's a pretty ballsy move, to do an anti-war song in front of any of the crowned heads of the old world. You know, that's a pretty ballsy move to sing that peace song. It was the Queen Mother and Princess Margaret in attendance there. I didn't really need to say Princess Margaret, did I? It was a free cinema ticket and a drink, so she was there. Marlene Dietrich and the Beatles. You'll also see on that building a plaque for Lord Delfont of Stepney, Bernard Delfont, and he's important in our story because he features in the movie. Played by Michael Gambon, Bernard Delfont, the great impresario, also on your little map. I think this is my favourite plaque in London. Francis Barrow, he was a painter and he painted Nipper. He painted the HMV dog, Nipper, his master's voice. So all of that's on your little map that I'll send to you. Save that to your phone and have a little wander around. In a spare 15 minutes, go looking for Judy in London, at the Ritz, where she stayed. Now, in the movie, it's referred to as the Piccadilly Hotel. It's an interesting thing, something I've found as a tour guide. When you deal with hotel historians, they are very often on message with the hotel. And so they don't like to talk about unsavoury episodes or, you know, weird characters that have stayed in these places. For example, the Savoy Hotel likes to play down its association with Bob Dylan, who stayed there twice in the 60s. But he's not really their kind of person, you know, for publicity purposes. And for some reason in the movie, it's referred to as the Piccadilly Hotel rather than the Ritz. But it was the Ritz where she stayed. Now, wherever they're filming this year, they've done a terrific thing. The backdrop there on this screen grab is green screen. Or blue screen, however you call it, computer generated. Because the view from out of the Ritz these days is this. So you've got Boots on the corner here in this sort of Minecraft designed building there. Wouldn't have been there when Judy stayed there. So meticulous eye for detail. They've put the 19th century structure back in place. Very nicely done, I think. The Judy Garland suite can be found not at the Ritz, at the Gore Hotel. Now, the historian there likes to tell us that she would come here when she was, you know, not on business in London. So not on, you know, concert tour or personal appearance for publicity purposes. It was a place where she could relax. And so they've dedicated one of their suites here at the Gore Hotel in Kensington. I'll pop that map on your playlist as well. We need to visit Chelsea before we're done. So let's go over to Chelsea now. We talk about Chelsea on the musical Chelsea tour and also on the Lionel Bart tour of London as well. Old Lionel lived over in Chelsea. Very musical place, Chelsea. Very musical in its heritage. This map, early 18th century. It's a modernization of a map from 1664 of Chelsea by the river. Let's drop a pin at Ranelagh, where we had one of the pleasure gardens. Wonderful, sordid places, the pleasure gardens. Live music, quartets, choirs, singers, comedians. These wooded walkways were very popular with people who are working in the dating business, the commercial dating business, the commercial speed dating business. So they were kind of salacious and sound quite nice, these places, these pleasure gardens. They are the birth of the popular music industry in the 18th century. So Chelsea has this great musical heritage. Lionel Bart lived in Chelsea. Now, when Judy Garland was here in the mid-1960s to record tracks from Lionel Bart's musical Maggie May, it was his last musical that could be... It was his last musical before Twang, the Robin Hood musical, that was such a disaster that we almost stopped doing theatre altogether. You know, it was a calamitous flop. But this Maggie May, which is sort of Merseybeat-influenced musical, it's quite a curiosity, was at the Adelphi Theatre, and Judy Garland was at the first night with Lionel Bart. He was squiring her around town and claiming to be her manager. Now, with all Judy's troubles, with the addiction, with the emotional and mental health problems, you know, with the relationship problems, with the career problems, the last thing she needed was, you know, LSD-addicted, cocaine-sniffing Lionel Bart as her manager. That's the last thing she needed. He lived in Seymour Walk at a house just at this end of London here near the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. It's still standing. It was nicknamed the Fun Palace. They say at the door there were two bowls, one for use when you came in and one when you came out. The one as you came in, you could help yourself to cocaine from the bowl. It's very hospitable of Lionel. And on the way out, you could grab from the other bowl money, you know, a fiver for getting a cab, the largesse of Lionel Bart. So you'd have Judy Garland, Noel Coward, John Lennon again, Harold Pinter, even Al McCogan. These were the big show business parties of Lionel Bart at the Fun Palace. She recorded her last tracks for record here in London. This is Abbey Road Studios. We call it Abbey Road Studios today. It was never called Abbey Road Studios in its life. It was only called Abbey Road Studios after that Beatles album in 1969. For the rest of its history, it was simply known as EMI. It's an independent studio today, but this is where she cut for her label Capital, which was a subsidiary of EMI. She cut her last four tracks here. I want to have a look from above here. Away above the chimney tops, if you will. There's Abbey Road Studio there. Now, the thing that people say when we visit this on our tours, people say, oh, it's just a house. Well, yeah, I suppose it is just a house. But if you go through life with that attitude, you know, the Grand Canyon's just a big hole in the ground. You know, it's what went on in this building here. Can you see behind the building as we swing round? Can you see that huge addition there? It looks like a hangar. Maybe even looks like a theatre or a cinema. That's all part of the studio. So it's like a TARDIS. It looks like an early 19th century house, which it is, out front. But look at the bit behind, to the right of the picture now. It's huge. It's colossal. You can get a full orchestra and chorus in there to do Götterdämmerung. It's not a small studio, it's a major studio. She was late for her recording session for the four Lionel Bart tracks from Maggie May. She arrived at 9:15 instead of 9 o'clock, but she had four tracks in the can by 11. That's a pro.